Reading the Word of God from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, commencing at verse 32. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and the verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Amen, and may the Lord be pleased to add his own particular blessing to the reading of his word. With the word of God open in our hands, let us afresh seek the Lord for wisdom and for the preparation of our hearts. Our loving eternal Father, we do thank Thee tonight for the gospel. We know that it is both the wisdom and the power of God. How we thank Thee for the power of Christ. We know that His arm is not shortened, that it cannot save. Thou art the one who saves to the uttermost all who come unto God by Thee. And we pray that under the sound of the word this night, none will harden their heart. None will turn away their ears from hearing. But, O God, may there be an applying of hearts and minds unto wisdom. May there be a considering of one's latter end and a seeking after God through saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless thy word to this end. We are trusting thee for power, trusting only thee. Words that thou thyself shall give me must and shall prevail. Give prevailing words, we pray,
In the Savior's worthy name. Amen.
John Bunyan, in Pilgrim's Progress, he wrote about Christian on his way to the celestial city, focusing his eyes on the cross. And as he did so, Christian felt the burden he carried on his back begin to loosen and fall from him. It rolled down the hill and disappeared into an empty tomb. The burden symbolized his sin, his guilt, and his fear of coming judgment. It was then that Christian cried out, "O blessed cross! Yea, rather blessed be the man who there was put to shame for me." Those sentiments were surely in the mind and on the lips of the penitent thief when literally at the cross and in the 11th hour, in the hour of his death, he found peace with God through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The burden of his sin and guilt, the fear of dying in his sin and going to hell, all was laid to rest when he rested his soul's salvation on the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed assurance came, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." These two thieves are representative men. They picture for us the response of those who have the cross placarded, preached before them. The followers of the impenitent thief, tragically, they are far more numerous than those of the penitent thief. We have often thought of the penitent thief. What a wonderful picture of the matchless, the amazing grace of God at work. The penitent thief illustrates the great truth that Christ is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. Does the penitent thief picture you? Are you a saved man? A saved woman? Saved young person? Maybe the impenitent thief who we are going to consider this evening, maybe his life is a mirror image of yours. For though knowing and hearing the gospel, you're hardening your heart. You're hurrying on to a lost eternity. Oh, I pray God that you will change your ways, that the Savior whom you have rejected till now, you will receive him in this very meeting. As we consider the life of the impenitent thief, first of all, we'll note the character of the man. Look at verse 32. Of Luke chapter 23. And there were also two other malefactors led with him, led with Christ to be put to death. He is also described as a thief in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 38. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. The word translated thieves, it describes a particular kind of person. There are two words in the original for thief. One refers to a person who steals secretly. The other emphasizes violence and openness in stealing. And these men are violent and open in their crime. Josephus, the historian, says that Palestine was infested with this kind of criminality. And the story of the Good Samaritan certainly backs up that fact. The one who was journeying by the way, he fell among thieves. And this man, the impenitent thief, he was a transgressor of even the laws of society. The Romans have brought him to book for his crimes. But moreover, he was a transgressor of the law of God. He's in breach of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Isaiah, the prophet, hundreds of years prior to this, he prophesied in chapter 53 and verse 12 of Christ, he said he was numbered with the transgressors. Oh, here is the character of this man. He is a transgressor of the laws of man and the law of God, more importantly. A transgressor. Here is the state of us all. We are transgressors. But you say, hold on a moment. I'm not a thief. I haven't stolen that which is not rightfully mine. I'm glad before God that you can say that. But you cannot say, I am innocent of the great transgression. You cannot say, I have no original or actual sin. We are born into this world sinful, not sinless. We are born into this world with Adam's fallen nature. You haven't robbed your neighbor, but you have robbed God of your heart. God in His Word says, my son, give me thine heart. But you have refused to do that. Your heart this evening does not long or pant after God. It moves towards carnal things, the pleasures and the fascinations of this age. It must have sin rather than a holy God. You will not have Christ. You live rejecting Him, though God has sent Him as the Savior of the world. Away with Him is your cry. Even the heathen, those who have no knowledge of the true God, they pay homage to their gods, to their idols. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 16. 2 Kings chapter 16. And we read here about Ahaz. The verse 3. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. Oh, here is the king Ahaz, and he's so devoted to his God, to the idol, that he is actually offering his son, causing him to pass through the fire as a sacrifice to the idol. Oh, how devoted this man is, blindly devoted to the idol God. But as for yourself, your life makes no acknowledgement of God, the God in whom you live and move and have your being. Your life makes no acknowledgement of God who gives to you now your very next breath. The heathen trust in their gods. You have not trusted the Lord. You have not received Him. Oh, you would do well to pray as Job did in Job chapter 13 and verse 23. How many, he asked, how many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Oh, this is primary, men and women. This is the knowledge that you require in order to be saved by the grace of God. You need to know your transgression and your sin. You need to know the plague of your heart. You need to understand how far you are from God, a condemned already soul, a transgressor. The character of the man, the impenitent thief, it's the character of us all. But secondly, think about the condemnation of the man. He's being called to account for his crimes. He has been tried and sentenced by the Romans to death by crucifixion. He has waited in the condemned cell. And now the day of his shameful death as a criminal of the deepest dye has arrived. He's enduring an ignominious death by crucifixion. The rightness, the justice of his condemnation, his partner in crime, has acknowledged all of that. In verse 41, the penitent thief said, "We indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds." He says justice is being seen to be done. This is a condemned man. And so are you. And so was I by nature. The sentence had been passed. The soul that sinneth shall die. The wages of sin is death, banishment from God. Oh, listen to the words of Christ in John chapter 3 and verses 18 and 19. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Why is it that you have not fled to Christ? It's because you love darkness. You love your sin. You hate the light. You prefer sin to the Savior, the broad road to the narrow road, a season of pleasure. You prefer it to eternal bliss. Oh, what proof all of that is to the depravity of the heart, the wickedness within man, and the rightness of the sinner's condemnation. The condemnation of the man. Justice was being done as he hung there at the place called Calvary. But something more about him. Think of the compelling testimony this man received. The crowd were crying, "Away with Christ." And while every voice was being lifted in unison against the Lord, there was one man who bore a compelling testimony. The penitent thief not only smote his breast, as it were, acknowledging, "I'm the sinner." He said to his companion in crime, "Listen, we receive the due reward of our deeds." But, verse 41, "But this man hath done nothing amiss." The chief priests were crucifying the Lord between the two thieves, saying that he was as one of them, indeed as the worst, the most shameful of the three. But this malefactor bears this glowing testimony to the innocence of Christ. He says to his companion, "The Lord is not as one of us. He has done nothing unbecoming. He is the Holy One of God." What a testimony he bore to the Lord. He was converted at the 11th hour. But what a testimony he gave to the unblemished, holy, harmless Son of God. Oh, to bear a testimony like that. Always speak well, believer, of the Lord. He's the fairest among the children of men. And the penitent thief saw that the one who had no sin was the sin bearer. He saw Christ as the long-promised Messiah, the Savior of his people. He turned and prayed, "Lord, remember me. Lord, save me." And in an instant, he was plucked as a brand from the burning. Oh, he's proof that salvation is of grace and not of works. His hands were nailed to the tree, and so were his feet. He could do no works. He could join no church. He could never be baptized nor receive communion. But he was saved by grace alone, and all in full view of his partner in crime. What a powerful testimony the impenitent man received. His companion spoke well of the Lord, trusted him, received the assurance before the day would close that he would be with the Lord in heaven. And others have testified to you. You have been moved as they have spoken of the Lord, the mighty to save. You have been almost persuaded to be a Christian. But you have stopped short. You will be without excuse. You will not be able to say, I never heard the gospel. I never knew the way. No one ever told me about the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. Indeed, with your heart, the Spirit has striven. You have come under conviction of sin. But be warned, God hath said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. What a compelling testimony he received. Now think about the condition of his heart. Here is a man whose life is ebbing away. And he's fully aware that he is only ours to live. And what's the condition of his heart? It's hardened to the last. He listened while the Lord Jesus prayed in his infinite love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But his heart was not softened. He listened while his friend called on the Lord to save his soul. And he heard the assurance given of salvation, but he wanted no part of it. His only cry was a scoffing one. In verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Oh, he had no desire to be saved from his sin, to be saved only from death by crucifixion. That was his desire, so that he might go back to his old ways. His friend rebuked the hardness of his heart, saying in verse 40, dost not thou fear God? In view of the justice of the sentence and the nearness of your death and eternity, do you not fear God? But the question went unanswered. There was no response. In Job 9 and verse 4, we read of the Lord. He is wise in heart, mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered. This is what the impenitent thief was doing, hardening his heart against the Lord. But he did not prosper. Proverbs 29 and verse 1 sounds this warning. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Oh, do not go on adding sin to sin in this meeting tonight. Do not harden your heart. And finally, we think of the conclusion that he came to. The moment death by crucifixion had taken place, the impenitent thief, his soul perished. The Savior of the world was at his side. But he died as he lived without the Lord. Eternity without the Lord is eternity without hope. The cross of Christ is a savor of life unto life to all who embrace it by faith. To all who reject it, it is a savor of death unto death. To them that perish, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But to them that are saved, it is the wisdom and the power of God. What will you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? One day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Oh, seek the Lord. Call on his name. Be converted that your sins may be blotted out. The Lord Jesus was manifested, the Scriptures teach us, for this purpose, to bear away our sin. He's the sin-bearing Lamb of God. Oh, that tonight you would behold him. You would come to him just as you are, waiting not to rid your soul of one dark blot. To the Lamb of God, whose blood can cleanse each spot, may you now say, I come. And him that cometh, the gospel promises, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, do not harden your heart, but open it to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he that being often reproved hardeneth his heart shall be cut off, not without remedy. Let us bow together, please, in prayer.